Welcome to the SPE Podcast, powered by the Society of Petroleum Engineers. You're listening to SPE Live, Artificial Intelligence Systems and Drilling. The audio from this episode was previously recorded on February 21st, 2024. And now your moderator, Deep Joshi.
Welcome to this SPE Live on Artificial Intelligence Systems and Drilling. My name is Deep Joshi. I'm a data scientist at Quantum Capital Group. I'll be your moderator today. Today's SPE Live will last 30 minutes. We encourage you to ask questions throughout the event. It is now my pleasure to introduce our guest, Radhika Mihai. Radhika Mihai is a senior researcher in Energy Modeling and Automation Group at NORS Norwegian Research Center, where she leads the drilling automation and autonomy in the Center for Research-Based Innovation, Digivels. Radhika has a PhD in algorithmic graph theory from the University of Bergen, and has been working with drilling automation for the last 14 years, including being involved in the demonstration of autonomous drilling at a full-scale offshore type rig in 2021. She holds a part-time position as associate professor at the Informatics Department, University of Bergen, Norway. In addition, Radhika is currently leading the activities under the Verification and Validation Subcommittee of the SPE Drilling System Automation Technical Section. Radhika, welcome to this SPE Live.
Good morning, Deep, and good morning and good afternoon to the ones following us. Thank you for the introduction.
Thanks, Radhika. Before we get into the overall topic, let's start by laying some groundwork. What is AI?
Yes, isn't that the question which is currently asked everywhere? And there are, of course, many definitions of what AI is, some of these changing throughout the years. But I would like to rephrase and refer to, instead of AI in general, AI techniques, because I'm using, and several other people, of course, are using AI techniques as a tool to reach a higher level of automation, all the way to autonomy in some cases. So if I go back to AI techniques, I just would like to mention that these techniques include a large range of algorithmic techniques from rule-based to causal models, machine reasoning, machine teaching, and all the way to machine learning techniques. This is just to mention a few of those. My goal is not to try to define AI, but as I mentioned, I would like to refer to the AI techniques as a tool. And there are many examples of how these are used as tool in existing automation systems, and in some cases all the way to autonomy, as I mentioned. For instance, active decision making to optimize a process with respect to a given goal. And when assessing which AI techniques to use, I would like to mention some of the factors which are important to take into account. So, for instance, how much data is needed for a method to work? How much, if an AI method is has some specific features, it has some specific assumptions, it can react, for instance, to abrupt changes in environment. Can such an AI method handle a context which is not fixed, which is the case of drilling, where we are dealing with different companies, different sensors? Is it possible? Is it the AI technique considered capable of handling time and space sparsity of the data? Can such a technique be offering continuous real-time functioning without interruptions, and so on? The list is much longer than this.
Thanks for the answer, Radhika. Following up to that, you mentioned using AI techniques in drilling. So, based on the dependence of drilling on multiple providers, can these be used efficiently in drilling?
This is a good question. So, as I mentioned, there are many techniques which have been implemented in several applications connected to drilling. And there is a variety of examples in application, from automated searching and retrieval of information to finding patterns in data streams, and all the way to active decision making in an attempt to reach higher level of automation. So given the fact that drilling is fragmented, And we are usually dealing with several of these automated functionalities being able to work together and have different levels of automation. This brings us also up to the question, what is high level automation? What qualifies as an autonomous system? And many aspects that play into the picture when assessing automation level and autonomy. So I could mention some few. So one is actually the case that the fact that drilling involves multiple actors and each are delivering its own data or its own functionality, and how to make this work together seamlessly, and how to exchange information and collaborate together in a safe way. Some others refer to the complexity of the problem, environmental complexity, for instance. Dependence on input from human operator. Is an AI system capable of taking a decision without input from a human operator? Can that system learn from experience? All this play into account when assessing what level of automation the different functionalities have. And this brings another level of complexity when having all this working together in an overall system. It's not my, if I may just 1 second, so it's not my intent to detail now the differences between automated and autonomy, but I would like to encourage those interested to attend the SP Drilling Conference, where there will be a presentation on a proposal from a group under DSAT, where proposing a taxonomy for autonomy levels for drilling systems, which includes aspects such as complexity, uncertainty, sparse data, human interaction, some of the things that I have mentioned.
That makes sense. You mentioned AI systems for drilling. In your opinion, what are some of the requirements that are important in implementing or using AI systems for drilling?
There are, of course, many requirements and characteristics that can be mentioned here. But if I have to mention a first one, I would say safety. And here is what I mean is both internal safety and external safety. And I will try to detail what I mean by this perspective. So if we consider an AI system taking active decisions in order to implement those decisions, the system needs to steer the equipment, the machinery on the rig. So this means that it should not exceed machine limits. It should avoid collision and so on. So it needs to take into account the limitation given by the equipment on the rig. And since the AI system together with the equipment form in a way an overall system which steers the drilling process, then we can refer to this as internal safety issues, safety characteristics. At the same time, we have the external perspective. Because an action which is taken during drilling operation by an AI system, it will influence the drilling process and in particular the downhole conditions, for instance. So any AI system used in the drilling context for active decision making should account for process limitations. For instance, not exceed pressure limits, not exceed the pack-off limits. This to ensure a safe operational use. And this is what I refer to as safety externally. But then derailing is a critical process, and of course safety is the first requirement. But I would like to also mention that safety goes hand in hand with trustworthiness of this technology. So then is the question, what does this mean? What it means to trust in an AI system? And here, again, are many views of this. I would like to mention something. So for me, trust in the AI system means that to trust the system, that the system will make the correct decisions under the correct assumptions. It means that the system understands what happened when it failed. It means that the predictions are in line with the expectations. It means that it has a thorough knowledge of the limitations. And actually, this is a very important one, because knowing that the AI systems perform suboptimally on a specific set of data or a situation is actually very useful, and it's not something that we hear a lot about. It's mostly on the research side. Another aspect is situational awareness, the depth of understanding that a system has the current condition of the drilling process. And the higher the level of automation, the higher the need for contextual information, which brings us back to the topic of safety. And here, since drilling is a critical environment, there is a very important question to ask. So what happens when suddenly an AI system that is taking active decisions and steers the drilling process is unavailable? And then there is a need to revert to manual mode. How to convey all that contextual information, which was in the AI system, back to allow for a good transition to the manual control? So I would say that management of transition from automatic, autonomous mode to manual mode is a very important requirement.
That makes a lot of sense, Jorica. What are some of the specific challenges before applying AI techniques in drilling?
Yeah, so of course, each domain has its own challenges, and they're usually given by the complexity of the problem, by the environment, by the issues such as observability, uncertainty, which they're all present in the drilling problem. So on top of that, as you mentioned earlier, we are dealing with multiple providers. We are dealing with proprietary systems, black box behavior, rigid versus adaptive behavior. Sometimes we don't have information on the training data from the different functionalities, for different AI systems. Online training capabilities, and here by online, I don't mean on the cloud, but I mean on the fly throughout the process, and information on specific assumptions. So I would also like to point something else, and going back to this multiple providers view, is that drilling, as I mentioned, being a complex environment, and involves all these providers, service companies, rig contractors, and so on. So the information which is gathered around is fragmented. So that's, I would say, one of the major challenges is to be able to have a continuous and smooth data and information flow across the different parts. So here I'm not only saying data, but it's also the information from the different automated functionalities which are in the picture, because it's not only the raw data which is of relevance. So if a system is integrated under one entity or one provider, then of course one could assume complete knowledge of the different parts. But if we are looking at a distributed version of the problem, when we have several of these AI systems or automated functionalities around and they want to collaborate, all these functionalities considered to be delivered from multiple sources, multiple providers, then we are dealing with a fragmented environment. So the question is how to ensure coexisting and collaboration without explicit integration under one entity. And this is very important because it also goes back to what I said about contextual information that we need to provide in case of transition to manual mode. But it's also because the system needs to be able to deal in general and inform about possible failures, inaccuracies, errors, both to the external human operator and also to be able to ensure itself that based on this knowledge, it's possible to steer reliably the process, the drilling process.
Thanks, Arika. Before we move on to our next question, I just want to encourage the audience to feel free to ask questions in the comments and throughout the event and not wait till the end so that we can incorporate those in the conversation. With that, you mentioned in the intro, I mentioned that you are working with the Verification and Validation Subcommittee in the SPE Drilling System Automation Technical Section, or DSATS. What does your work focus on, and what is the committee focused on right now?
So this connects a bit to the previous part that I mentioned about being a fragmented environment when it comes to the knowledge. So I just want to go a bit more on the details. So we are faced now with many of these automated functionalities that are available from the different providers involved in the drilling operation. So, but at the same time, we still see that there is a challenge when we try to enable this automated agents to work consistently together at the rig site. This in the case when we don't have explicit prior integration under one entity. So the verification and validation subcommittee at DSATS is currently working on mapping these challenges that the industry is facing, the current state. And I would also like to use the opportunity, because I'm pretty sure among our viewers there are many which have a lot of knowledge on these challenges on the current state. I'd like to use the opportunity to invite those of you interested to join us and share with us. To going forward on the information on the subcommittee work, as I would like to say that the subcommittee is first trying to map existing definitions, because this is the first point that we have to have a common definition of verification and validation among us. And this is similar to the discussion that we had before on what qualifies as an autonomous system. So as long as we are not having the same definition, it's difficult to proceed. So this is one of the first words that we have been focused on. Next we are mapping the challenges, as I mentioned, but we are also looking into possible solutions that can cope with this dynamic structure that we mentioned, that we are facing in drilling. And to repeat what I mean by this dynamic structure, I mean a system of systems where you have different level of automations. They are trying to work together. So basically, we are referring to a multi-agent type of system. And in these distributed systems, the agents might become unavailable, might be replaced, and so on. So any verification and validation needs to cope with this dynamic structure and the complexity it gives to the process of verification and validation. So our aim is to share the work with the community through publications and different events. And of course, it's an open invitation for those who want to join the subcommittee. So far, the group is focusing on the verification and validation of the interplay of these agents. So not on the verification and validation of the automated functionalities themselves, but on the how they can work together and how do they collaborate in a good way, in a consistent way, and in a safe way. So the work in the group involves different backgrounds. It's a multidisciplinary team. So we are welcoming backgrounds from computer science, from operational, from drilling. It's a place for you as well if you want to join us and either share from the challenges that you are facing or if you are aware of a solution which is has worked very good. So, or if you want to contribute to a possible solution on the way towards online verification and validation. And by online here, I mean on the fly, because we need a verification and validation which can cope with changes, and it can be a continuous process throughout the operation.
Thanks, Arika. Just to follow up on it, if someone from the audience wanted to join the subcommittee, how can they do that?
Yes, thank you. So it's possible to either send me an email if you want, or we also have a website under DSATS. And it's possible to join the website and also mention that you want to join. We are running regular meetings on Teams, because we are In the group, we are people from different countries, different time zones. So we try to make sure that this fits. It's a good time for everyone. So just get in touch and we will find out.
Thanks for that information. Going back to AI and drilling, are there any limitations to the applications of AI and drilling?
Of course, as in any field, I would say that there can be limitations. Going back to the assessment that I mentioned in the beginning, when one assesses, so first we don't start with a technique and say, I want to use this technique and try to fit that technique to my problem. But we consider a problem first and then find a technique which can work to solve the problem that I have. And then for the assessment, you can find a technique which is handling in the best way the problem that we are dealing with. And so as part of this assessment, one can figure out which limitations each of these techniques has.
Thanks, Radhika, for the answer.
Back to you, Deep.
Thanks, Radhika. Going to another question from the audience. What is the best way to address the challenge to education? Big workforce on and
okay,
on.
I can continue maybe a bit more on this. So if we go back to the fragmented part that I mentioned before, because of the multiple providers, for instance, if data and communication is not available, then this is a major limitation. But I see Deep now is back. Please, Deep.
Thanks, Radhika. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So another question from the audience, what is the best way to address the challenge to educate rig workforce on an all digitization and automations to get familiar with automated platforms, as the outputs of different platforms depend on the inputs that are given by the users?
One of the major challenges is to build trust in the technology, as I mentioned before. And that trust is built by knowing about the technology, by seeing how the technology works. So it's as long as someone see that you get results is something which is my work instead of making it more difficult, then also encourage to use it further. Of course, it's a problem when we are dealing with multiple platforms, multiple automated functionalities. In this fragmented picture that I mentioned before, I only mentioned automated functionalities, but the human input is also one part of the fragmented part because they also influence the process. So it goes back to what I said earlier, that we would like this smooth collaboration and smooth communication of data and information throughout the distributed system.
That makes sense, Radhika. Thanks a lot for the answer. Asking another question from the audience, you mentioned different AI systems and their implications on the drilling industry. How well does the drilling industry understand what AI really is and what are some of its applications?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, so how well does the drilling industry understand what AI really is? And how does the industry understand what some of its applications are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a very good question. And of course, it's hard to answer that question as from the point of view, either industry point of view. But I think one important part is that for all these initiatives, such as the verification and validation one, is to disseminate with the industry the work done. And by dissemination, it will start dialogue and discussions. And by this, we will have a bi-directional understanding. We can help each other to evolve on the understanding. Some might need to go more on the AI, some might need more to go on the operational and so on. So I think collaboration is the key. And to what is the current status, that is hard for me to assess.
Thanks, Erica. So you mentioned the verification and validation subcommittee. What will the results from the subcommittee be shared with the community, and how are they currently shared?
I'm afraid I didn't catch the last part. Could you repeat?
So the Wintham results from the verification and validation subcommittee shared with the or larger drilling and automation subcommittee?
Yes, so this is our plan. This is what we want to do. We want to disseminate as much as possible. So by sending sending abstracts and try to publish in the venues for SPE and also broader. We also plan to inform and have a newsletter on the website as we evolve and develop more in our work in the subcommittee.
So are there any procedures, we'll take another question from the audience, are there any specific, any defined procedures for choosing the best AI techniques for different drilling problems?
Yes, this is a good question. Thank you for asking. So yes, as I mentioned before, there are many points that one could use when deciding what technique to use to solve one problem. So for the drilling, it really depends, because drilling is a large topic, so it depends what part of drilling, what the first part is to assess the complexity of the problem, to see what needs to be solved, what is the goal, and then look into the different methods and as I mentioned before, look at how a method can cope with the time and sparsity of data, how can cope with learning on the fly, how can cope with learning from experience, how can that technique can cope with provided continuous functioning, and so on.
Thanks for your comments, Radhika. So as we close up the SP Live, we'd like to ask you for your final thoughts on AI systems that target high-level automations.
Thank you, Deep. So I'd like to go back a bit to the what I mentioned before with AI systems and their design to ensure safe handover to manual control if needed. So on my opinion, ensuring good management of transition from high level of automation or autonomy to manual control is a very important requirement for an AI system. I would also like to use this opportunity to thank you all who followed us today and for all who asked the questions. And to you, Deep, for mediating the discussion, and to SPE for inviting me here today.
Thank you, Radhika. Thanks to the audience for the questions and their comments, and thank you for joining us today. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the SPE Live podcast. For more content, visit the SPE Energy Stream, the industry's digital pulse, at streaming.spe.org. If you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and review. Join us next time on the SPE Live podcast.